Thank you, Jared, and for all of our song leaders this weekend. The songs have been very encouraging and helpful, and they have gone along with the lessons, and that's always a good thing to match the songs up with the sermons to help solidify ideas that we're trying to get across. So thank you. Again, thank you for the Tidewater congregation for the opportunity to be with you and the invitation to be here. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it. You have been such an encouragement to me this weekend, and I hope the lessons have been helpful to you as well. For those who have been feeding me, and I believe I'm with the Carltons this evening, who will feed me, I'm so grateful for your hospitality. Thank you so much for that. I was raised by a father who preached in Spanish overseas for about 75 years. He started when he was 20, and he passed away at 94. 74 years or so he spent preaching the gospel outside this country, Mexico, South America, Spain, various places, Puerto Rico, Cuba, Dominican Republic, various places where he could preach in Spanish. He was of that World War II generation that when the war was over in 1945, many Americans wanted to take the gospel overseas, especially GIs that had come from Germany and Japan and different places like that. They wanted the gospel to go back to those countries. Now, my father was not in the military, but he was in that culture and that climate of taking the gospel to other places. And that was a very good thing for brethren at that time, actually. So he and a friend of his, Wayne Partain, preached in Spanish for about 74, 75 years. And Wayne Partain is 100 years old this year. He's still preaching out in Odessa, Texas, still preaching in Spanish. So I was raised around that. My father was gone a lot overseas preaching the Word of God. And so that was embedded in me, the importance of doing that kind of thing. And so I've tried to do that some in my own life. Let me answer a question sometimes that comes up before we get started among brethren, our brethren here. One question that often comes up is, why go overseas to preach the gospel when we have plenty of people here that need to be saved? And there are many people here in the Chesapeake area and where I'm at in Clarksville, and we do work in trying to reach the lost at home, but why go overseas when there's so many people here who need to be saved? And I would answer that this way. Brethren overseas are doing a very good work. They are working hard. They're saving souls. In fact, sometimes, I know in many cases, they're doing that better than I can do. They're doing it in their own language. They're doing it well. But brethren overseas get so much encouragement from us when we come and help them, and they will tell you, and I've seen this many, many times, they do not have the Bible knowledge that we have. They don't have the resources we have. They don't have the experience that we have. Most of us were raised in Bible classes growing up. They don't have that, where they have the graded curriculum from the little children up to the adults. They don't have any of that like we've had growing up. And many of them want help. They don't really need help converting the lost. They want help just with, show me as a preacher more about the Bible. Show me how to do it. Show me how to learn more myself. There is a lot of that going on. The second thing that happens is there are different errors that have been propagated in other places around the world, and they want help answering those and dealing with those and being studying the Word of God to address those things. And there are some practices among churches of Christ in different places that need to be checked and examined with regard to the Word of God. So they really want the help, they desire the help from their American brethren. So, in my personal life, I have gone overseas several times in the late 90s and early 2000s to the Philippines because we were supporting a brother there. I took a little break because other things were going on in my life, and I've started up again going to Ghana, Africa, and the Philippines because we support a man in each of those countries. It's not always possible in a local church to send someone to personally examine the brother that you're supporting, but if you can do that, that's a good thing to do. And that's what I try to do. So I'm going to share with you a 2023 trip report to Ghana, and then last year I was in the Philippines. So we'll just go ahead and get started with that. And you're going to notice this evening that I tend to be a very practical person, personable person. I don't want this to be theory. I would like to encourage you, if you can, to make a trip. I'd like to encourage our young people to make a trip. Get out there and make a trip and go overseas and help young ladies. I've known of young ladies who have gone with other Christian women and taught ladies Bible classes and helped women overseas to do different kinds of things. It's a great way to use your retirement. It's a great way to use vacation time. I've known of brethren that have used some of their vacation time to make a trip. It's not just for preachers, in other words. It's for brethren, faithful brethren, to go and help others. And if I can encourage you to do that, and if you ever want to make a trip with me, let me know. That's how practical I try to make this kind of thing. I'd like to encourage the next generation to get involved. So in 2023, I had been discussing the Bible and the gospel with a preacher in Ghana and finally had an opportunity to go. Ghana, of course, is Western Africa. It's one of the little states there off to the west. And when you take Ghana there and you just blow it up, you find down here in the bottom the capital city of Accra. So you fly into Accra. And most of my work has been done in what's called the central region. So there's some brethren that I work with in Accra and then down here in the Cape Coast. I will be going back in October primarily to a brother that we support in the Accra area. So I have not gone up into other portions like other brethren have. Currently right now, Wayne Seaton, who used to preach down in North Carolina, he's going. Steve Walker is going. I'm going. And I've been primarily in this central region. It's very common to study with preachers. Here we're studying the subject of institutionalism. But this brother right here, Benjamin Nkrumah, when I first went, he was one of my translators, and he is now one of the brothers that we support. Very articulate. He was a high school business classes, accounting classes teacher, and he has left teaching high school to be a full-time minister. But we now support Benjamin Nkrumah. It's very common to spend time just studying with preachers about various matters. There is time for personal work and baptisms and studying with the lost. We definitely build that in. But it's also, in my opinion, very important to meet with preachers and encourage them, study with them on issues that they have not been able to do any in-depth study on, Calvinism, premillennialism, or whatever they're dealing with. And so a lot of times we will spend time doing that. In October, there will be preacher training. That's very important. Giving them the tools and other things to get better in their gospel preaching. So a lot of times there are private meetings like this. It could be, this was just in a hotel sort of open common area. It could be in some sort of a rented facility or whatever, wherever we can meet privately to study. This is actually studying with Daniel. He's the one that I had been corresponding with since 2014. So we started in 2014 slowly corresponding, and then I finally got to see him in 2023. So sometimes studies are private like that. This is getting ready for one of the church services. They often will sit on plastic chairs. They don't have the comfortable heated and cooled auditoriums like we do. But this is one of the church services. Those church services tend to be things that are scheduled. They hear we're coming. It'll often be in the evenings. You'll see some of these pictures are kind of night pictures because people are working in the daytime and then they'll schedule a service for the evening to study and so forth. I love the little kids, and so anytime I can get my hands on the little kids, I'll do that. We always have a good time with them. A lot of fish, a lot of fresh vegetables. This is some egg and some fish, and almost like, they throw in some like salad type things like that. Hush puppies, that's kind of like hush puppies there, one of the meals there. It's pretty common to hang up a banner, you know, a coming lectureship, that type of thing. And Benjamin is standing there translating for Steve. And he was my translator on several occasions. And we've now started supporting him. Very fine young man. Just men and women attending. The preacher, Daniel Arthur, and his family and two children. He preaches in Cape Coast. So we stop and see him. This is the youth group there in that particular church. They have about 120. I was just sitting with the young kids there. Baptism's very common in just any kind of water that you can find. This was a pretty swollen creek, if you will, and they just find a spot. This little stick right here, they just stuck it in the ground, but they were using it earlier to poke around in the water to see if there's any holes or any deep spots that you don't want to accidentally step in. And they found a spot where they could baptize this lady. A lot of times I will purposely set up classes with the youth and the young people, the teenagers. I was able to do that yesterday. I love being with the young people. And I'm talking with this young man. He needs to become a Christian. Here's some of the children. Always enjoy being with them. This lady was baptized on that particular day. She's from Cameroon, just around, you go around the coast there of Africa. She had come to Ghana for work. It didn't pan out. She became needy. She lived near the church building. She was not a member of the church. And so she just kind of started walking to this Church of Christ building. And we met with her, studied with her, and she was baptized. Just her kids, her husband has left her, and she's just trying to raise her kids. It's very common to try to do some personal studies with families, encourage them. And again, when I can get my hands on the little kids, I do. This is a ladies' Bible class. I'll be doing this again, where I believe I was going through the book of Ruth. Sometimes I'll do the book of Ruth with them or the book of Esther, and I really enjoyed studying with the ladies, and she's translating for me there. Great ladies' Bible study right there. Translator. Then sometimes we'll just have one-on-one Bible studies with visitors who aren't Christians, and this man was baptized after this particular study, what we call personal work. There's time for that, and that's a great thing. Often they will be baptized. On the way to the baptism, we got stuck in the mud. There's the Daniel or Benjamin, I think, poking around in the water with the stick to make sure that it's a safe place to go down in there and stand. So that young man was baptized. Sometimes there'll be men's classes. This was a case where Stephen was in the other part of the building with the women. I'm teaching some of the men, and that's a great thing to do. Here's another men's class, and they enjoy that as well. Water gravity flow from this water tank, gravity flow into the church building. Older brother there. This is Benjamin and Crewman, his wife Rita, and their daughter Adome. She was 3 at that time. They now have a 1.5-year-old boy that they named Chris. And we've adopted them, if you will. They're sort of our adopted family. And when we were Zooming one week for a Bible study, and he said, "We've got an announcement." And they told me that they named their little boy Chris. And I'm not real emotional, but I started to cry. there's just such a sweet family, and I'm looking forward to seeing them again and my namesake. But again, A lot of times there will be church services. This is a particular church service where Ben preaches. You can see the folding chairs, no air conditioning or anything like that. It gets pretty warm. They will, those banners and things that are hanging up there, that's not there all week long. The men and women work really hard, either late Saturday night or early Sunday morning, to clear out the place. They will hang up things like that. They will go outside and put tents up, and then the men get it all back down during the week, and they put it back up. They're very hard workers. They want to put on the best that they can for the Lord. And so this is one of the church services where I like that little spot, like father, like son. They were sitting there together during one of the church services. The congregation where I'm at there in Clarksville, we've been able to help this particular congregation with tents. You see these tents there. And they just started children's Bible classes for the last 2 years now. We've been able to help them. They don't have any concept of having children's Bible class material. So we're sending them Discovering God's Way. You're familiar with that? And they just love it. Rita teaches one of the classes. And right now they have three different classes, like real little, kind of medium, and more high school. But we've helped them with chairs and tents and Bible class curriculum. What we do is we order it on PDF. I email it to Benjamin, and then we give them enough money to where they can print it off and start using it. Here's the three classes. Little kids, a little bit bigger in the middle, and then down at the end, that's where the high school was earlier in the day. There's the high school class, bigger class. A lot of times there will be separate men's studies when they can get off work, and this was one of the classes I was in with the men. One of the church buildings, this is very, very common in Ghana, where they'll have enough money to kind of get started, and then they don't have enough money to finish it off. That's very common, not just with church buildings, but just all homes, businesses. And you see that rebar sticking up there? That is so common all over Ghana, where they leave the rebar standing up in case, if they can get a little bit more money sometime, they'll kind of keep building. This was a young people's study at this particular congregation, and I had a class for young people, and so they gathered there. Another baptism on a particular occasion. This happened, I studied with these two girls. And these are sisters, and she was baptized. She didn't want to do it that day. Several months went by, and Benjamin told me, like a year later, this girl was finally baptized, her sister. So the seed started growing about a year later, and they're still there, and they're still very happy in the church. And so this is the third sister. There were three sisters. They just find a small pond or a small lake or wherever they can find. And this is Benjamin, whom we support. Often have a prayer right after the baptism. Oh, this is great. We pull up and we park right here. There are people, men over here doing drugs. And we get done with this baptism. And they see us and they're, you know, talking and so forth. And we leave. We came back about a week later for another baptism. And the whole place is gone. And I'm asking Benjamin, and he said that the owner of this kind of area finally got tired and ran off all the drug dealers and they left. And it was empty when we came back about a week later, and you can see all of their paraphernalia and stuff in there. So here's a new Christian in Christ, and literally just a few feet away, you know, a reminder of worldliness and sin and how we're just surrounded by it literally. And just like here, new Christians have a challenge even from day one. One of the things that I like to do when I'm there in both the Philippines and in Ghana is to help brethren with Bibles. And if you would like to help me with that, that is a great need. Helping to give for Bibles. And you'll see this New King James here. I like to use that good, dependable version. But rather than buying a little old $5 cheapo Bible that's all like a paper cover, it falls apart really easily in humid conditions, rainy conditions, damp conditions, which Ghana and the Philippines are. They're about on the same latitude, very close to the equator, halfway around the world apart from each other. It's a very hot and humid, muggy type thing. You buy a cheapo little Bible, it's just going to fall apart pretty easily. I try to get something that cost around $30. So 10 Bibles, $300. And since she was a new Christian, I wanted to make sure she had her own Bible. And Benjamin is helping me with following up with them in learning the books of the Bible, learning where things are in the Bible, and he's helping me with the follow-up. So the person doesn't just get the Bible and then it just ends up on a shelf somewhere. They really are proud to get their own Bible. We have Bibles laying everywhere. We have no trouble buying a Bible. They have a lot of trouble buying a Bible. You're thinking $30. We dropped $30 at lunch. And that was just on Jason. We drop $30 like it's nothing. We go here and drop. They cannot do that. $30 is a couple of weeks' groceries. They just cannot say, okay, I'm just not going to eat. I'm going to go buy a Bible. So what happens is, unfortunately, that's the area of their life where they kind of have to skimp because you've got to eat. So many people just do not have Bibles. And if you want to help me with that, that would be a great thing. And her sister getting a Bible there as well. You see that shirt right there? Of course, they like color there in Africa. That was made by one of the ladies. She's a seamstress, and she made me that shirt while I was there. Here is one of the members. He's a auto parts or mechanic parts person. Behind, that's just a big old bin of screws and bolts and stuff. Behind that gate is just all kinds of car parts, and that's what he sells. And I wanted to say, the church meets in their house. You read in the New Testament, greet Priscilla and Aquila and the church in their house. This man gives up his house. And what happened was this. He, with this car parts business, he was able to make enough money to do pretty well for them. And he had kind of like this compound, if you want to call it that, like two buildings that were kind of in a T shape and then a big concrete wall around it. Well, in COVID, that building that I showed you earlier, where it was not finished at the top, these brethren and some other brethren were meeting over there. But because of COVID, just like over here, you're not allowed to be together and all this kind of stuff, they started having smaller groups meet in their home, and then that actually became a new congregation. And so how many of us would do this? He took one of those buildings in that compound that had three rooms in it. He knocked out the walls and made it one big old long room. And he said, we'll let the brethren meet in here. How many of us would knock out a wall in our house so that brethren could meet? So Francis Brown is just a great man. And he's opened up his house literally for the brethren. There's probably about 120. And Benjamin and Rita live in a little back room back there, and the church meets in the rest of this open area. Great man. In the back room there, Benjamin has a little office, and Adom and I are doing some coloring there. That's Rita. She was pregnant at the time, and we went to the store there for babies and so forth and helped her to get some things getting ready for her birth. This is one of the night classes with the men under these tents that we helped them to purchase so that they could have Bible classes outside. There's the wall of that compound that goes around. Again, inside, teaching inside, various... I'm not yelling at them, I promise. It looks like I'm barking orders there, but I'm not... teaching inside. This is interesting. They do what's called street preaching. They will set up in a common area, people just walking by. Okay, this is about 7 o'clock at night. And they have a big old platform, and they have the PowerPoint projector, and they take the speakers out there. The men come by, and they get all this stuff, and they load it up, and they take it out to a common area. You can't see it here. Of course, I'm preaching. There's the platform, but there's some of the brethren there, and they're gathered on the other side, too. And what this does is they put up these speakers, and it goes out over the community, and they will actually pick up visitors from that, and some lead to Bible studies, which lead to conversions. So they do what's called street preaching, and I was doing it that evening. There's some of the speakers. One of our members gave money about a year ago so that they could have speakers and so forth for this street preaching. That's, again, one of the services there. This is one of the Sunday services. You can see the colors in their clothes, very colorful. And that's the church. This is Benjamin over here. And you can see the congregation that meets there. This is just outside Accra, the capital city. There's Benjamin. You can see his colorful shirt as well. Dear ladies, cook for you, help you, make sure that you're fed, just good, godly women. And that is Francis Brown and his wife and their family, and they just turned their house over to the brethren. It's a great thing. Here's some of the men that helped Benjamin. I had a study with them. Lord willing, one day they will be elders. They're just right there. Their children are getting on up a little bit where they can become Christians. And I was talking with them and encouraging them about being elders one day. And hopefully that can be the case. There's some of the food, chicken, rice. In this case, it was some pork and rice. A lot of fresh fruit, watermelon, and so forth. This is one of my favorite things. We would call it ketchup, but it's a tomato-based, garlic and tomato-based and some other spices. Man, I was dumping it all over everything. It's really good. But they do a lot of chicken or fish and rice and salad. There's another one. The only thing you kind of have to get used to is we typically will make food and it'll be hot and we eat it when it's hot. They have to prepare it in advance, and then they put the plastic over it so the flies don't get on it. So sometimes you're not exactly eating like really hot food. It's been prepared and sitting there for a little while, but it's nevertheless, it's good. And we're having a meal there at that time. Here's another lady. This is the lady that a week later when we went back to baptize her, the guys were gone out of that little shed. And she is about 15, daughter of one of the members there. The grandmother's a member of the church, the mother's a member of the church, and now she's a member of the church. Three generations there of ladies in that congregation. Here's the seamstress there in the church, and she made me my shirt. That's her office. That's her little business. She has a contract in town for all of the uniforms for the police department. So she's doing quite well to be able to make uniforms. This is very common. They carry their babies like this. And we had a Bible study with her. She was a visitor that had come, and we walked down the street and around the corner and this and that and found her and studied with her. And a lot of dirt around and some pretty basic living conditions. This is Mary. She's a member of the church. This shows you a businesswoman. It kind of reminds me of Lydia. She has a little store that's not far from the church building. She sells. Godly woman. When she shows up at the church building, boy, she's walking around helping and fixing this and straightening up this and helping people with this. Just a great worker. But she is a seller of different things there. This is Benjamin's parents. She's a fishmonger. Those are racks, and on each rack there's little fish. Sometimes it's sardines or little things, and then she puts them in these ovens and smokes them, and then sells smoked fish. and they're members of the church, and they raised him. He's like, please don't take my picture. He's very humble. He's very gracious. And I know he's thinking, please don't take my picture. But just a great family, and they raised a great son, and he's a godly man. Benjamin's father was a fisherman. He's retired. He's gotten older. But Benjamin has uncles that still fish. Of course, Ghana, being on the coast, that's why it's called Cape Coast. There's a lot of fishing. Here's a man making a fishing boat. And there's that. Do you want to load that other one, please? And then we'll look at the Philippines. So I try to go to the places where we are actually supporting a man. Now, for some reason, I've ended up with two places that are pretty much on the equator. I need to pick a colder place. I keep picking these hot places. But I've been blessed, and the church has been blessed, to actually go see firsthand the work, see firsthand their conditions, see firsthand what they're actually going through. Thank you, brother. So let's switch gears to another part of the world, to the Philippines. We also support a brother in the Philippines. This past December, Mark Mayberry and Ron Halbrook and I flew to the Philippines via South Korea. So we fly west, across the Pacific, come into Seoul, South Korea for a layover, and then down into the Philippines here. You typically land in Manila. Any of our veterans here spend any time in the Philippines? Okay, good. Yep. Fly into Manila. The Philippines are divided into three sections: Luzon, the Visayas, and Mindanao. I was in all three sections. The brother that we support is on the island of Cebu. I did a lot of work there, but because you fly into Manila, you work with brethren there. Then I went to the Visayas, did some work down here in Mindanao. Some of you know Steve Wallace, who preached in Ramstein, Germany for many years. Steve and I were down here in the early 2000s with brethren, and it was good to go back and see some of them again. So we're going to be looking at three sections of the Philippines. I did work in Manila, in Cebu, and down here in the Iligan, Lanao del Norte area with brethren. Here's one of the main churches in Manila, Kapit Bahayan. I said, would you mind if I called it the K Church? That was a little bit easier for me to say. But they meet in this building. They're getting ready for the church service there. Ron is preaching. I told Ron that I was going to use this picture and not explain what it was, and that would leave a bad impression on what he's doing there with Mark Mayberry. But he was illustrating the idea that in the New Testament times, you had to help each other fight battles. And so you would stand back to back, and you would fight your common enemy standing back to back and helping each other. And we need to do that in fighting the devil today. We need to work with each other to help fight him. I'm doing some lessons here. Here's some of the men that one of the studies was for preachers and men, and so they gathered for a picture. One of the preachers in Manila, James Pyatt, very good man. Common traffic picture, very crowded, all kinds of motorcycles. You see the little tricycle here. These are their taxi cabs, so the man drives, and then one or two smaller people can sit in here for a taxi fare. You've got that going on. But motorcycles are just very, very common. 7-Eleven has made it over there. Here's one of the church services. I did a home and family series for one of the churches, various lessons on marriage, home, family, raising children. Again, it's very similar. No air conditioning. Sometimes they'll have a window unit that doesn't work, or it doesn't really work enough to cool the whole place. So things can be hot, but they love to come together, and they love to worship the Lord. Here's a translator. The folks in the Philippines, they all learn English, the same as in Ghana. The kids learn English in school, but sometimes in both places, the older folks prefer their own language. And so a translator is also helpful. You see here, I'm holding some questions on a little piece of paper. It's very common in the Philippines to have Bible question and answer after every service. I like it. It's a good way to learn. It's a good way to grow. And so here's a question and answer period. Those are some folks that gathered on that occasion. Young lady out in front of the church building there. This is the couple that happens to preach at that particular congregation and work with them. Andrew and Angie Romero. This is another house church. This is a subdivision, and the preacher and his wife live here, and they meet in their garage. That's where the church meets, and that's where they meet. That's a small congregation, and Mark and I are doing some lessons there. Again, you see the plastic chairs, open air. It can be warm. This is like being in an oven. You might as well just go inside an oven. And so the heat rises up in there more than outside, but that's where the brethren meet in different places. This particular meeting was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, a youth meeting where we were focusing on. Y'all recognize that, young people recognize that sermon there? Young people who put God first. I did that with some of our young here yesterday. I think this was one of the youth Bible classes. But they meet in this this garage area in this brother's home. He's translating for me. And here's some of the young folks that met on that particular occasion. This is a preacher in the Manila area. He drives a motorcycle. He drove 9 hours to be with us. 9 hours. There is a lot of commitment among brethren in other places. Sometimes it's hard to get brethren to go around the corner to meet. 9 hours. And so they love the Lord. They love Bible study. They love to be around brethren who will help them in their study and so forth. Here's the preacher and his wife that open up their home for the brethren there. After being in Luzon area, I came down to the middle part. We support a brother here in Cebu, and so I definitely wanted to spend some time talking with him. Cebu is an island that has a ridge down the middle. The ridge is about 3,200 feet. So you go from sea level, where the airport is Lapu-Lapu, and we stay here, but you've got to go up the mountain 3,200 feet and then go back down the mountain. I was with brethren in Cebu. I was with brethren on the top of the ridge where Mario, we support him. And then I was with brethren in Balamban. So you got to go up and down all the time on this particular island. On the very tip of this island where this star is, you're on the very ridge at the top. You're about 3,200 feet. You can see the clouds there. You're way up there. And this is where Mario and his wife live, and the church meets in their place, and we support him. This is an interesting story. About 2 years ago, Mario was just on Facebook and doing some Bible study, and he happened onto my father-in-law's Facebook site. And my father-in-law has some lessons on there where you can teach people personal work lessons. And it's entitled, In the Same Hour of the Night. And you learn the lesson, you memorize it, and it's the idea of you go to somebody's home, and in one lesson, you can teach them the gospel and hopefully baptize them in the same hour of the night. Well, he memorized this lesson. He worked on it. He started using it. Long story short, he contacts my father-in-law, who worships with us, and one day we were over at his house, and Charles said, Chris, do you know this Mario Rubio guy? I said, I don't know who he is. Well, he's using my lesson, and he's a hard worker. You might want to check into that. So we checked into all of that and found out him to be a very good man, and we are now supporting him. This is an open-air meeting place. This is where they meet. Again, the plastic chairs, and the brethren just love the Lord. This was on a Sunday meeting with them. Here's Mario's son who comes, and he helps with the technology and just different things. This is a lady that meets with Mario. Young people, be grateful for what your parents are giving you and all the blessings that you have. She walks She walks up the mountain 2 hours to meet. She walks back down 2 hours to her home every week. Up, down, walking 2 hours. So, again, if you're dedicated and you're committed, it doesn't matter what's out there. You're going to do what you need to do to serve the Lord. I beg us all not to let our culture soften us. We get so soft that we can't do a little work or we can't make a little sacrifice. I'm glad that we have the conveniences that we have. I'm not planning on giving them up in any time soon, but don't let them cause you to become soft. What a great lady. I said, I want to take a picture with this lady. Here are some of the children that meet at that congregation. They like the peace sign. They definitely like the peace sign. Here's Mario passing out some Bibles that I was able to help get some of those members there. Here's Mario and his wife, just a great, great couple. See that dog right there? Didn't Paul say, beware the dogs? Philippians 3:1, beware the dogs. He was talking about the Judaizing false teachers. Because it's open air, dogs and chickens will come in. And this guy liked to come up and wait around the Lord's table. And he was listening to my sermon. And when he got enough, he just walked out. And he got his fill. And he didn't cause any problem. Just, you know, listen for a while. Jesus said, take the gospel into every creature. So maybe that's what he meant by that. But every once in a while, you'll get something like that going on. This is the totality of Mario and Wilney's house. That's their house. And again, young people, the next time you say, well, Mom, Dad, we need such and such, you think about that. They love the Lord. They're happy. But that's where they live. That's their view, beautiful view, high up in the mountain. He was our driver. So now we move down into Mindanao, some speaking engagements down there. I did, again, a home and family series. You can see this harmony and happiness in the home. They have issues there just like we do here. And I try to do a home and family series when I can, different places. This was an open-air rented facility for this occasion. Probably 75 folks came for that, and it was a very good opportunity to do lessons for them. Again, this is the preacher in the area. I actually worked with him. He and I are about the same age. I worked with him in around 2000. And he's still preaching the gospel, and I was helping them with some Bibles as well. This is a church that meets. His son helps him do the preaching. This is a porch. You're looking at an outside porch of this house, just different, a montage of pictures, but that's where the church meets, on this porch just outside the house. And that's the young man and his wife that help his father preach. The reason I wanted to go see them was where my son attends in Memphis, which is East Shelby Church of Christ, they support him. And when they heard that I was going, they wanted me to check on him and make sure everything was okay. And I got to go check on them, and that was great. Leo Introso, he and I are about the same age. And to see him again almost like 22 years later, it was great to be with him. Again. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Here's the picture of he and I in around 2000. And there's he and I today. We tried to reproduce some of that. He's still thin. I'm not so thin. I was probably 160 there. I'm not 160 there. So. But isn't it great that you can come back and still see someone, they're just laboring, they're working hard for the Lord. There's Steve Wallace that I was with at that time. This was a series of lessons set up. Now I'm in the city of Cebu, and Mark and I are just doing a combination of lessons for both men and women. I love that sign right there. I needed to flip it for the presentation. No sudden movements. Jumping. Elevator is extremely sensitive. Yikes. Please stand still. So when you get on, everybody be still, please. In the year 2000, I was with these brethren. And in 2000, I was with the father. He passed away with COVID, but his son is carrying on the work of his father. So I was able to go back and work with his son, who's carrying on that work. And that's such a great thing. This was a youth day and did some youth lessons. And here are some of the young men, fine young men, godly men, good guys, teenagers, just great guys. And this is the son and his wife. She's a school teacher, and his name is Shamar Cahigas. I worked with Nathan, his father, and Nathan taught his son to be a gospel preacher, and now Nathan is carrying on. And I stood in this same church building back in the year 2000, and I wanted to say something. The roof was up here, but there were no walls at all. There was nothing. And in about 25 years or so, they've slowly added here and added there and added on and kept it going. And they've got a great congregation there. That's looking out over the city of Cebu. Here is Balanban, the other side of the island. Again, back down on sea level. A congregation that I was with. This is a church that meets in somebody's home. That's very common. There's the preacher and his wife, Cornelio Rhoda, and his wife, and their family, and their little grandchild that I had to get my hands on. And they're holding up their Bibles. I was able to help get them some Bibles as well. That's a very, very great need for that. Toward the end of this December trip, we did a preacher training for 4 days, and I really enjoy that intensive study on all kinds of things, preacher related, and I just really enjoy that as much as the others. So what are the kinds of things that you're looking at? Personal one-on-one studies that often generate a baptism, church services, that's very common, ladies' Bible classes, mixed classes for men and women, men-only preacher studies. That kind of gives you some ideas of the different things that we're able to do. So we're going through this. Anybody use Bible Hub here? Training them on how to use Bible Hub. I really like that. How to do some deeper Bible study. I was doing that. So this is part of men's training. This is the church in Cebu. They meet on the 14th floor of this building, and that's what that elevator that goes up to that. And these are the men that attended that. Mario, whom we support, is right here in various area gospel preachers. They love it because they get encouraged. And when we leave, just like you get a shot in the arm, gospel meeting or something else, you want to go home and get after it. And these men just really enjoy the camaraderie, and they get built up, and they go home with a new zeal to preach the gospel. So here are several of the men. The older man that has been preaching in this congregation for many, many years, he and his wife are pictured there. So Jonathan Carino and his wife, Nanette. More of the preacher training, I guess. And there was a baptism. No. The preacher training is over with on Thursday. The next day on Friday, Mark and I just had an open service for anyone. And you can see some young boys here, and there was some maybe up in here. And we were preaching some sermons, and we had an invitation song. Jason and I were talking about this matter of extending the invitation. I believe it's still very, very important to do that when you come together. And we extended the invitation. And Mario had brought a bunch of people from where he preaches. And he knows that in this group, there are some young people that need to be baptized into Christ. Well, nobody came forward or anything during the invitation song. So I asked Mario, could I study with these young men in the back room? And we went back there for several minutes and we talked, and they admitted, I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins. They're just timid and shy and other things. And we talked through all of that. And in time, we ended up with, I believe it was three young men who were baptized. And so what they do is it's a temporary type of thing. They've got this tub kind of a thing, and then they put a piece of plastic down in there, and they're running water almost, it's like a hot water system and other water. So you'll see all these PVC, and they've got water coming in here. Now, it took about, it was slow. It seemed like 45 minutes to fill up enough to get a baptism. And these are some of the young men that were baptized, and Mario is working with them. By the way, this young man looks like he is really young. Filipinos look a lot younger than they are. Whenever I see one, I just add 10. I make a guess and add 10. So this young man, he looks like he's 18. He was like 24. And so you got to be careful thinking, you know, how old are these folks? So then this is very common with what Ron does. But at the end of a trip in Manila, we're back in Manila, he will go to the Philippine Bible Society, and he will, if he's there for 3 weeks, and people are giving him Bible orders, Brother Ron, can I have 15 Bibles, or can I have 10 Bibles, or whatever? He adds all of that up. He goes to the Philippine Bible Society, and from this lady here, he said he's been working with this lady for 30 years, same lady, gets all of these Bible orders, and then they mail them out all over the Philippines to these different ones that have been needing Bibles. So we help him with the buying of Bibles. Here's a preacher there in Manila that was able to get a box of Bibles. So I appreciate your time and attention in being able to go through that. There may be someone here that wants to support that work individually. If you want to give money for Bibles, the kinds of things that are needed would be this. Bibles, of course, mentioned that. A good Bible, a good New King James Bible, for example, they're easy to get. Nelson has those both in the Philippines and in Ghana, about $30 a piece. That's always a great need. Another need would be for the preacher himself, like equipment. Some would like to have a PowerPoint projector. Some would like to have a screen. They've got a projector, but they don't have a screen, and they're showing it on the wall, and the image is bad because the wall is, you know, all messed up. A screen, a projector, a laptop, that's very helpful. Just supporting he and his family, $100 a month is a big difference for them. And sometimes, brethren over here, you don't have to call it anything, but sometimes brethren call it adopt a preacher and his wife. And they'll send $100 a month to one family, or $300 to three different families, $100 apiece, something like that. It's very helpful. Benevolence for food, clothes, things like that are always needed. So if that's something that interest you or that you would like to work with in the future, you can let Jason know and he can let me know, or you can contact me personally along those lines and we can do that. Lord willing, I'm going back October for 3 weeks, the last 2 weeks in October and the first week or so in November, and I'll be working with Benjamin and Rita and others over there. So thank you for your time and allowing me to do that.